Okay. Sabbath blessings, everybody online and offline. Right. Starting off here today, the very first one's a very, very short one. It's page 122 of Early Writings. It's titled Irreverence, and it's just page 122. It's like one paragraph, and it says, I saw that God's holy name should be used with reverence and awe. The words, God Almighty, Brother Dick shared this with me many years ago, because I still have some old radio broadcasts that I use the term God Almighty, and shouldn't, and I didn't realize it until Brother Dick made me aware of this. And she says, the words God Almighty are coupled together and used by some in prayer in a careless, thoughtless manner, which is displeasing to him. Such have no realizing sense of God or truth, or they would not speak so irreverently of the great and dreadful God, who is soon to judge them in the last day. Said the angel, couple them not together, for fearful is his name. Those who realize the greatness and majesty of God will take his name on their lips with holy awe. He dwelleth in light unapproachable. No man can see him and live. Well, that was just like I was reading this morning. And I saw, she says, I saw that these things will have to be understood and corrected before the church can prosper. And so I want to praise his name for that and for Brother Dick bringing that up to me a few years ago, because it would have stopped us dead in our tracks too. But you brought up something else too, Dick, where it was, I think it was in Sister White's writings where she was talking about how when an angel's about ready to speak the name of our Heavenly Father, the angels stop. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the angels stop dead in their tracks. Their wings veil their face. They look down. They could be in a conversation, just carrying on a conversation, just walking down some heavenly avenue and just, you know, carrying on a conversation. All of a sudden, the name of the Father is about to be spoken. They stop. Their wings veil their faces. Their heads bow. They speak the name. Their wings go back up. Praying reverence. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I understand. Yeah, but the term God Almighty is what I'm touching on right here. Yeah. So, anyway. Yeah, okay. Thanks, Craig. And Addie found it. What is that, CG? I thought it was Great Controversy. I thought it was backwards. Is that Great Controversy backwards? It says, angel, this is what it says on Child Guidance. Thank you. Thanks, Craig. Child Guidance, page 538, it says, angels, as they speak it, veil their faces, the name of our Father, you know, God and then Almighty. With what reverence should we, who are fallen and sinful, take it upon our lips? Amen to that. And so, Dick was showing me something a little bit even more so, where, you know, the thing, you know, where the angels were stopping and speaking the name, and then after they got done speaking the name, after a little quick moment of silence, silent prayer, I guess, the heads would come back up, the veil, the wings would go back down, the conversation would continue. And it's just like, you know, I can see, you know, the divine and, you know, wisdom behind that too, because think about this. You're in the city of heaven. There's a couple of angels walking down, you know, heavenly avenue on all this golden streets, and you're up with a bunch of little kids on the top of some mountain, playing with the kids, and you happen to look down at the city. You just happen to look down at the city, and you see the angels, two angels walking down some street, and all of a sudden they both stop, their heads go down, their wings cover their face, and you know right then they're speaking your Father's name, and then you bow your head with them, even though they can't even see you do it. Because even from a long distance, could you imagine that? Even from a long distance, you can see someone speaking his name. His name is that powerful to where it should be glorified like that. And so, man, I could just see that. You know, it's like, wow. So, thank you for that quick little, that is a good one. I'm a little confused. It's just saying God or those two. Saying those two together. God and then Almighty. You know, it's too flippantly. It's being used too, you know, like she says, irreverently. Let me put this on the server real quick. update room. And that was page 122 for those of you listening on the radio if you missed it. Page 122 of early writings. You got to read it. If you just came in, because I just saw the bandwidth jump a little bit on the radio server. So, which, by the way, Scott Nell and whoever else out there, I think Amanda David are working on a server or working on a web page. I'm going to be sectioning off a section of the server on the radio server so that I could give you guys a free, and I'll leave the FTP protocol on there 24/7. Okay, just so you know, if you need it. What's up? Did you know you fell out, or are you in some place?
It's on upstairs. I was in my room.
Also, you can still hear it when we were praying? You brat. You're my oldest daughter living here. Okay. All right. Yeah, you're very welcome, Amanda and David. Oh, I got a couple of PMs. Hold on. Ezekiel 1:24 says, "And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings." Wow, that's pretty nice there, too. Thank you, Ace. And then, see, Bonnie has one here. Oh, yeah, that's the one Bonnie gave me. Okay. And Ace PM'd it to me, too. So, yeah, that looks, yeah, it's kind of like what I was talking about. Three might be the most broken next to four. Breaking calm, no three every minute in movies. I don't know what you're talking about there. Maybe I'm in the middle of a conversation there. Okay, page 123. Now, this page is a little longer. Not much, but a few paragraphs. Okay. Hold on, let me get some water. Okay. Page 123. This one's titled False Shepherds. All right. Hold on, we got people falling out here. I got to wait for Fran to get back in because the SDR Indy actually feeds the phone conference. And by the way, if me and Bonnie were talking about this earlier, for the Monday and Wednesday nights, if you guys want to have people, because I notice every time after you guys are done, you know, when we're all done with that, because I listen in a lot of times when I'm able to, but every time we're done, the phoneconferencecall.com or whatever, teleconferencecall.com or whatever, they email me to let me know how many people were listening. And every Monday and every Wednesday, I get an email because some people want to listen to your Mondays and Wednesdays. So, if one of you guys, you know, I just want to let you know, if you guys talk amongst yourself if you want that. I was going to give Bonnie the password on how to do it and set it all up. But it's up to you all. Okay, page 123. SDR Indy's back. We're back so that now the people on the phone can hear. All right. And, yeah, for those of you listening on the phone, thank you for having so much patience. When you hear dead air for a while, don't give it a second thought. Just give it 30 seconds. And then we'll 15, 20 seconds. We'll be back in. You'll be able to hear us again because the DSL is a little shaky. I'm going to unplug the DSL modem tonight and plug it back in after 20 seconds so that church will be okay. So I'm thinking we're a little shaky here today. Okay, early writings, page 123, false shepherds. It says, "I have been shown that the false shepherds were drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink." You know what that reminds me of? It's like a graphic. You could go on YouTube and see this, that false tongues movement. And I remember years ago when I ran into some of my loved ones got into that charismatic. And by the way, a lot of people don't know this. The tongues movement, you know the three frogs of Revelation? How do frogs catch their prey? By their tongues, right? And you know what, something else I noticed here? You know, you got the dragon, you got the beast, and you got the false prophet. Really, really, seriously, you got to look at the false prophet here for a second. This will make some sense, especially those of you that used to be Seventh-day Adventists. the dragon, of course, we know that's the devil, the serpent, Satan, right? The beast, of course, Roman Catholic Church. Now, before I mention the false prophet, the beast, the Roman Catholic Church, all the Protestant churches out there, except the Seventh-day Adventist Church, in their infancy, of course, not now, but in their infancy, all the Protestant churches out there have Roman Catholic theology. Everything from Sunday keeping to Christmas and steeples and wedding rings, right? They got it all. So when you look at the beast, you're looking at Catholicism and all its little sisters and little brothers, right? When you look at the false prophet, that's true Protestantism melding back over. That could be old Lutheranism, but in today, in the last days, that is Seventh-day Adventism. Think about that. That false prophet is Seventh-day Adventism, as far as I'm concerned, because that's supposed to be Protestantism. But as I was saying with the YouTube thing with the false shepherds where they're drunk, not with wine, but then they stagger, but not with strong drink, on YouTube, if you look up the tongues movement or whatever, and that charismatic movement started in the mid-80s in the Roman Catholic basements in their churches. I attended one. Nick Perrone was running it. And there was actual demonic manifestation in that church, but the spirit came upon me, the real one, and wanted me to stand up and say, you've got to translate. What you're doing is wrong here, sir. You got all these people yapping in tongues and no one's translating. But I was very green and very young and the tears were flowing and I was embarrassed and I walked out. But I saw it start in that church, and it did, and it went off in there. And then now there's churches where they're actually, one of my loved ones said when they got, you know, they says, oh, this guy was slain in the spirit. He says, why is he falling down acting like he's drunk? He says, oh, he's slain in the spirit. And they're calling it a drunkenness of the Holy Spirit. They've got this on YouTube where you can actually see these preachers staggering, but not with wine. You know, and they're drunk, you know, not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. And they're acting like they're drunk, and they're, this one guy keeps going, and he's like, blowing on people. And it's the Holy Laughter movement, too. They're doing that, too. It's amazing how she sees this. She says, I have been shown that these false shepherds were drunk, but not with wine. They staggered, but not with strong drink. These guys actually go one step further and place that symbology right there in their reality. So, going on. The truth of God is sealed up to them. Wait, the truth of God is sealed up to them. They cannot read it. Yeah. See what she said? Yeah, Pentecostal. That's the Pentecostal movement. All right. Hold on a second here. My text chat is, oh, man. Hold on one second here. Why is it always doing this to me? I gotta write it. Hold on. All right. The truth of God is sealed up to them. They cannot read it. When they are interrogated as to what the seventh-day Sabbath is, whether or not it is the true Sabbath of the Bible, they lead the mind to fables. I saw that these false, that these prophets were like the foxes of the desert. They have not gone up into the gaps. They have not made up the hedge that the people of God may stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. When the minds of any get stirred up and they begin to inquire of these false shepherds about the truth, they take the easiest and best manner to affect their object and quiet the minds of the inquiring ones, even changing their own position to do it. And this reminds me of Roman Catholic priests and how I walked into their my pastor's office one time when I was a Catholic many, many years ago, and I asked him to explain, why is it the Bible says that we should do it this way, but you're teaching us to do it this other way? And before he said, oh, you got to quit reading the Bible, it's confusing you, he was pulling stuff right out of the air and just telling me, oh, it's this way, it's that. He was just making up, like she says here, fables to actually, you know, try to keep me interested and keep me in the church. And then he actually, and he did this many times, as well as many of these so-called Sunday-keeping pastors and stuff like that. They'll say something that's completely different from what they used to preach just so they can keep you in their church, is what she's saying. They change their own position. She goes on, light has shone on many of these shepherds, but they would not acknowledge it. and have changed their position a number of times to evade the truth and get away from the conclusions that they must come to if they continued in their former position. Do you all remember that? I don't think anybody's here from the Fire Talk days, but there was this guy that came in there. He was starting to preach that all the popes in succession from 1929 forward, you add their numbers together, they come up to be 665 with John Paul II. And when John Paul II dies, the next pope is going to be Pope Joe or something, number one. And that means that means now that pope would be the Antichrist because he would be actually 666, right? And I was trying to convince him using the scriptures that, you know, using my own wisdom, of course, but I, you know, faltered there. I should have just concentrated on the scriptures and say, look, you're way off base here. And I did use the scriptures a lot, and then later on I did, in fact, do a web page for him and try to show him where his error was. And then when that actually happened, where the pope died and the next pope was elected, and it wasn't Joe number one, it was Benedict 16. And so instead of grabbing the truth, Sister White says, like she's predicting here, he changes his position. And he did. Now he comes up with a whole new theory as to what the next pope will be about. Yeah, I know. I just heard it, and they just got back into him. And so I always give it like 15 seconds or so. But thanks, Graham. So, continuing, the power of truth tore up their foundation, but instead of yielding, and just like it did with that guy, and there is a page on my website, it's a hidden page, I think it's remnantofgod.org/666man.htm. I'm pretty sure that's what, let me just double check here real quick. Because what I did in there is I put, before he changed this entire website, after Ratzinger was elected, he changed his whole website with a whole new theory. I copied his entire website, or his message, to my website on a hidden page, just so that people could see that, you know, okay, oops, no, I'm in the error section, hold on, 666man.htm, yep, there it is, it's a hidden page, I don't, you know, it's just for people that approach me and say, have you ever checked out 666man.net, I says, yeah, the guy's a false prophet, I got proof. You know, I just show them that. So anyway, she goes on. The power of truth, I'm repeating myself, of course, the power of truth tore up their foundation, but instead of yielding to it, they would get up another platform that they were not satisfied with themselves. Man, I should copy and paste this on that page. Let me just stick this on a... This is really amazing how accurately blunt she is here. Let me put it on a little sticky note. That's what that ripping noise is. It's a little note that goes up on my desk. Okay, let me just stick that right there. All right. That's early. I didn't put the things. DW123. There. All right, continuing. I saw that many of these shepherds had denied the past teachings of God. They had denied and rejected the glorious truths which they once zealously advocated and had covered themselves with mesmerism and all kinds of delusions. And mesmerism is like a, you know, like, it's just a mild sense of hypnotism, like mass hypnotism kind of a thing. Even like magicians, illusionists can use mesmerism. So she says, I saw that they were drunken with error and were leading on their flock to death. And I got to tell you, when this guy came on Fire Talk and he came into my room and he talked to somebody, because we average like 75 to 100 families a night, and all of a sudden he came in, 20 families went right out with him and wanted to hear it. And it was a wonderful message to hear for about a week. And then for about a month later, everybody came back except for one. And that person hung with him for a while, and then I don't know what happened from then. So she goes on to say that many of the opposers of God's truth devise mischief in their heads upon their beds. And in the day they carry out their wicked devices to put down the truth and to get something new to interest the people and divert their minds from the precious, all-important truth. And it's like I was saying earlier, some of these preachers, they'll come up with a doctrine. I mean, it's just like with the guy in Miami, Florida, that's telling everybody that he's Jesus Christ, and then he got a big following, right? And everything was going great, and he's like, oh, wow, I got all these people following after me, right? And I guess his numbers were diminishing a little bit. So now he's telling everybody that he's Satan. He's the Antichrist. And so now his numbers jack up some more. which obviously shows the mentality of people that don't read Bibles. He actually tells the people that, and his daughter, and a lot of her friends, and most of her church flock have tattooed their bodies with 3 sixes in acknowledgement that he is Antichrist and we're following after him. It's like, what? But, you know, it's just amazing. But still, even they, because he ain't the real Antichrist. We all know that. And now some good-looking guy's coming up calling himself, or they're saying that he's Maitreya, but he's denying it. I just got an email about that today. I haven't checked it out yet, so I got to read into it first and research it out. I just got it right before church, or our little gathering here, study. So going on. She says, I saw that the priests who are leading on their flock to death are soon to be arrested in their dreadful career. The plagues of God are coming, but it will not be sufficient for the false shepherds to be tormented with one or two of these plagues. God's hand at that time will be stretched out still in wrath and justice and will not be brought to himself again until his purposes are fully accomplished and the hireling priests are led to worship at the feet of the saints. You know, when the rainbows are above our head and we're looking up and we're seeing the eastern sky split and we're ready to get ready to leave and they're all bowing at our feet, worshiping us because it's always been about the flesh with them. And when they see us with the power of God upon us, they think it's the flesh and so they bow to it. It's just like they're doing in Miami. It's just like they're doing with any of these guys, like Jim Jones or even Charles Manson. People follow after them, and they don't read their Bibles, and they think it's all about the flesh. And so, like she says, they worship at the feet of the saints and to acknowledge that God has loved them because they held fast the truth and kept God's commandments, and until all the unrighteous ones are destroyed from the earth. It's amazing. Even then. So she says, the different parties of professed Advent believers have each a little truth. But God has given all these truths to his children who are being prepared for the day of God. He has also given them truths that none of these parties know. Neither will they understand. Things which are sealed up to them. The Lord has opened to those who will see and are ready to understand. The key word here being ready to understand. Don't expect to get a lot of blessings in that area of understanding without first putting forth the staff like Moses did when the father said move forward, even though he's looking at a bunch of water. We got to do our part. We got to get into the word on a daily basis. We got to go into prayer. I would suggest 3 times a day minimum, like I like to do actually is pray without ceasing all day long. I just keep him in my hour. He's in every hour of every day, unless of course I'm sleeping. And even then, in my dreams, sometimes I'm tempted in my dreams to do some things. I says I cannot do that, and I praise his name for that because even in my dreams I won't do it. So she goes on to say, if God has new light to communicate, he will let his chosen and beloved understand it. Without their going to have their minds enlightened by hearing those who are in darkness and in error. This is what always confused me about some people that are having a hard time understanding the scriptures. They want to go talk to a Sunday-keeping preacher, or, look, there's no church in my area. I got to go to some church, and so they want to go to a Sunday-keeping church. Revelation doesn't say, come out, go back in, come out, go back in. No, it says, come out and stay out. She also says, I was shown the necessity of those who believe that we are having the last message of mercy being separate from those who are daily imbibing new errors. I saw that neither young nor old should attend their meetings. I should just continue to read on. For it is wrong to thus encourage them while they teach error that is a deadly poison to the soul and teach for doctrines the commandments of men. And see, this is why I've always counseled people, don't go in the Sunday-keeping churches, even if there's no other churches in your area, and don't go in the Seventh-day Adventist churches either, even if there's no church in your area. You can do church at home. That's how the church is going to end anyway. It started in the home churches, didn't it? It's going to end there, too, because sooner or later, well, actually sooner, it's going to be illegal to be Christian in this nation. And so you're going to have to meet in your home anyway, and then eventually in the hovels and the caves and the forests. And so you're going to have to get used to it anyway. If you don't have the discipline, which most of us already do, praise the Lord, especially, you know, those that gather for prayer. If you don't have, but there are some, you know, in our number that don't have the discipline yet. Well, I don't know if it would be in our number because people do come here for church, but, you know, people that believe like, let's just put it that way, people that believe like we do but don't come to our church or don't do church in their home, like me and Fran did for many years. We just could not find a church that believed like we did, and we have 8 kids, and we didn't want to take a chance. Okay, granted, we might have a little bit better ability, Fran and I, because we study longer than the kids did because we're older than them, of course, and so we could walk into those churches and know what's dangerous and what's not dangerous and kind of like shake it off, and, you know, but that's even, you're taking a chance because Sister White's saying it's, you're putting your soul in deadly danger. And the Lord made that overwhelmingly clear to us when he said, well, okay, if you want to look at yourself, look at your kids. If you can't realize that you're being dumb walking into those churches and putting your own life in danger, turn around, look at your kids. Because what are you going to do? You're going to put little signs up in front of your kids every time the preacher says something wrong? Look, this is what he should have said. So, it is wrong to go into those churches because you're going to get lured away. And it's very easy to meet in your home. You know, have a half an, well, have like an hour of worship, just like you do in a church. Pray, read the scriptures. If you got a large family, or even if you got a small family, have dad stand out in front of the family and read from the scriptures. If no dad's there, mom, get up there and do it for the kids. The Bible's very clear about what Timothy's mom did and grandma. You know, look at Sister White. So mom gets up there. I mean, she's not pastor, so don't worry about it. Get up there and teach and preach to the kids. Teach the kids. And have family worship. If you don't have a place you can go, you know, because sooner or later, they're going to shut us down here. You know that. You know, there are even some times that it's difficult to pay the bills to keep the check room going. You know what I mean? But the Lord's faithful. He keeps on giving us what we need. And so I shouldn't even mention that. But he will keep us open as long as possible, because that's what I keep praying. Keep us open as long as possible, Father. Even if we have to move the servers to put them to another place where it's cheaper to run them. Because having the T1 here is very, 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 very expensive. But if we put them, if we co-locate them someplace else, it'll be, you know, maybe $100 a month cheaper. But we'll have to deal with all the phone calls. Look, you know, we got to talk about this. We're getting complaints left and right about your website. And so, you know, let's just forget it. We got to find a place we can put them where they're safe. I'm praying for fiber optic. If one of my kids had fiber optic, I would put the servers in my children's homes. And then we can run through there for 10 times cheaper. So continuing, the only problem with that is if the kids aren't home, the server's down, who's going to fix it? I mean, who's going to turn it back on? Or we could do teleconferencing. Yeah, we can continue to do that. So going on. Oh, good night, Scott and Alan. God bless. See you tomorrow. Okay, finishing up here in this one little paragraph, where am I? Let me backtrack a little bit, just so I can get a better clarity here. I was shown, she says, this is the last paragraph, page 124. She says, I was shown the necessity of those who believe that we are having the last message of mercy being separate from those who are daily imbibing new errors. I saw that neither young nor old should attend their meetings, for it is wrong to thus encourage them while they teach error that is deadly poison to the soul and teach for doctrines the commandments of men. The influence of such gatherings is not good. If God has delivered us from such darkness and error, we should stand fast in the liberty wherewith he has set us free and rejoice in the truth. Now think about that for a second. Well, there's no church in my area. Do you think he knows that? Seriously. I mean, seriously. I mean, this is, I wish the people that have sent me emails on this and said they have to go to a Sunday keeping church or they have to go to a Seventh-day Adventist church because there's no other church in their area. I says, look, you found the truth. He called you out of Babylon. You're going back in. But he says, well, there's no other church. I says, do you not think your father knew that? Do you not realize that your heavenly father knew there was no other church? This is a test and you're failing. I mean, even a babe in Christ could figure that one out. Amen. Upward look. What Brother Sidney just put in the room there. Do not court singularity for the sake of being odd, but for the sake of avoiding sin and dishonor to God. And in this case, we are not to mind even the multitude who are against us. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. That is powerful. Thank you for that, brother. Amen to that. That was a good one. I just happened to look over. Perfect timing for that. All right, going on. God is displeased with us, she says, when we go to listen to error without being obliged to go. Again, don't you think your father knows you're not supposed to be there? That's why she says, without being obliged to go. He knows there's only Sunday keeping and SDA churches in your area. You're not obliged to go. Revelation 18 is pretty easy to say, yeah, you're not obliged to go. It's simple. It's I miss my friends. Well, look, if you can't give up brother, sister, mother, daughter, or your friends for Christ, you know, think about that. Because a lot of people have a hard time giving up their friends. And I says, well, is there something else going on? Is it business connections you fear? Because if it's business connection, what does it also say in the Bible? Yoke unequally? Is that okay? I mean, doesn't it say bad company corrupts godly character and you should not yoke unequally? You're not obliged to go, she says. So she goes on, for unless he sends us to those meetings where error is forced home to the people by the power of the will, he will not keep us. In other words, unless he's sending you there to go to fix it. If you don't have the ability to get on that pulpit, going there and joining with them and listening with them and having little tiny conversations later and saying, look, it's wrong that what he's preaching up there, that's not what he's talking about. If you can't get on the pulpit, don't step in the door. And even then, I won't walk into a Catholic church, because it's just, and it's not a pet peeve either. I think I would be looked upon as a hypocrite because I could see myself in a courtroom in front of the magistrates, and they're looking for whatever they can to try to make it look like my message is a bunch of baloney, and then I look at a church, a Catholic church, as being a church instead of a hall of, like a cult, right, or a hall of sin. And it says, well, if you didn't think it was a church, why at one of your loved ones' funerals, at one of your loved ones' weddings, you actually went to the church? I'm going to sit there and go, ham and ham. I'm not going to have an answer. You can't do it. She goes on, the angels cease their watchful care over us, and we are left to the buffetings of the enemy, to be darkened and weakened by him in the power of his evil angels, and the light around us becomes contaminated with the darkness. I saw that we have no time to throw away in listening to fables. And so it's just like walking into a bar. You go against your father's will. You've got his written will on this. Bad company corrupts godly character. Touch not the unclean thing. It doesn't say rubs. It says, well, you can walk in there and sit next to it. No, it literally says don't even touch the unclean thing. Don't even touch it. And like, it's just like like Proverbs. Don't even go near the harlot's door, it says. Now, you can look at that as the physical sense. Don't go through like a hooker's doorway. Or don't go through a spiritual hooker's doorway. Because we all know who the whore of Babylon is and all who her little, her little whore wives and our whore daughters are. And those are all those Babylonian Protestant churches. So you can't go near the harlot's door. Don't even go near the door, it says. So I got all sorts of scriptures to back up the reason why I'm not stepping into a Catholic church or any other kind of like Sunday-keeping church or so-called Protestant churches. So she goes and she finishes. And right about 11 o'clock, too, she says, our minds should not be thus diverted. Yeah, amen, Christina. You're going in without armor. And I should have finished my thought there, too. He says, it's just like going into a bar. You are going in without that hedge of angels you always pray for. Because once you step outside your father's will, you are on your own. You are taking chances, big time, with your eternal life. You're going into battle without armor. Big chance. She says, Sister White, our minds should not be thus diverted, but should be occupied with the present truth and seeking wisdom that we may obtain a more thorough knowledge of our position. that with meekness we may be able to give a reason of our hope from the Scriptures. While false doctrines and dangerous errors are pressed upon the mind, it cannot be dwelling upon the truth, which is to fit and prepare the house of Israel to stand in the day of the Lord. In other words, we got to be an overwhelmingly peculiar people, and not like Brother Sidney's quote earlier that was put in the room there, not just so we could stand out and be odd. Because a lot of people want to do this. You know, I want to look like I'm not like the rest of them. No, I want to step out because it's the right thing to do. I don't want anything to do with the sin. I know how sin affects the life. I know how dangerous it can be. I mean, if it ain't dangerous, if all these false doctrines aren't dangerous, even for a babe in Christ or a strong Christian who's been in the Word for many, many, many years, if it's not dangerous, why are there over 3,000 denominations that have spun off from Catholicism? Why? Why is it out there? Why have so many people, why have 6.5 billion people almost on this planet have fallen, the majority of them have fallen for all these false doctrines? If it's not that dangerous, why have they fallen for it? And especially if you don't think it's dangerous, it will be extremely dangerous, especially for Capernaum, who walks in there with already the truths in heart and then steps out of the will of God and leaves all the good angels behind and walks in with a bunch of demons. Now you're not only leaving yourself open for eternal, you know, for destruction in your regular life, it's eternal life too. And you're putting yourself at a big disadvantage there, because at one moment you have the ability and the wisdom and the understanding to be able to handle the lies that are being preached, but when you step into their realm and allow them to preach the lies to you, now, just like that one guy that, that true story that's on my website about meeting the devil. This guy was a Seventh-day Adventist. He agreed with the voodoo priest to go and listen to him preach but he made a deal. He says, look, if you hear me preach, I'll go listen to you preach. That's what the voodoo guy said. Look, if you really want me to listen to what you have to say, you have to promise me something. He goes, yeah, all right, what? If I listen to what you have to say on your pulpit, you got to listen to what I got to say on my pulpit. More or less. I'm just paraphrasing the daylights out of that page, but that's more or less what went down. And he said, yeah, okay, I'll go for it. Well, hold on. It's in the, I think it's in the warning section. It's the warning section. And I should read that in here one of these nights. But anyway, he goes in there. After he hears the message, of course, the voodoo priest is so far gone into demonic apparitions and whatnot that he doesn't even hear any of the truth that the pastor had to say or the preacher had to say. And so that preacher had to go to that meeting, to that voodoo, because he was a man of his word. So he goes. Guess what happens? His two dead daughters come running up to him. That voodoo priest was able to conjure two demons to make them look just like his daughters, and he fell for it. How strong do you think you are? And that's a true story. And then what did he say at the end and what caused him to die? He says, how are they going to be able to manipulate the people in the world and be able to get their minds to such a state that they're not going to be able to handle absolute truth from heavenly, from God himself, to where they're going to fall for all these crazy fables and actually believe that the Antichrist is Jesus Christ incarnate and all these fake miracles? How are they going to fall for that stuff? And he said, TV. He's going to use TV. And if you don't believe me, do some research on how a video game just flashing certain colors on the screen can make you have a seizure. They know how to affect the human brain just by flashing things on the screen. Everything from subliminal messaging to mesmerism that they've been using since 6,000 years now. They know how mesmerism works, and you can do that over a TV as well. And with a digital, that's why you try to get your TV shut off at cable TV, or you try to get your TV shut off at Dish TV. Oh, they'll shut off all your channels and whatnot, but they'll give it to you for free. Okay, all right. They'll give it to you all for free. Well, they won't give you all that for free, but they'll give you regular TV for free. They want to make sure your TV's on in your house. Computers got to be the same thing. If you have a live feed or something like that on a computer, you know, I would imagine. Computer's no different. A high-def computer is no different than a high-def TV. Yeah, good point, Timmy, what she said. If the angels, with the absolute understanding of truth that they have, that outshines anything we can even contemplate, if they can fall from heaven, who do you think you are walking in with Sunday keeping church or Seventh-day Adventist? So, hey, matter of that, sister. That's real plain and simple, like blunt. Think about it. Yeah, amen, Ace. Think about that. That's an amazing thing. Let's pray before we close out. Fran just went off to bed, so if SDR Indy falls out, I want to at least be able to get, you know, the prayer in. So if you can get on your knees, please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, and we love you, and we trust you. Thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us in giving us an understanding of the truth the way we need to understand it. Thank you so much for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain and the faith that moves mountains and the butterfly wings. We thank you, Father, for all the wonderful things that you're doing in our life. We are sinners, but we are sinners saved by grace. And we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die for us, even though we deserve to die. We are decadent sinners, and Father, like you did for Joshua many years ago, you take the filthy robes off of us and put on the clean ones because of your Son. We thank you for that. Bless us in these last days, Father. Let us be those that you called forth and have prophesied about in scriptures as that remnant people. Let us do that work that you prophesied would get done. Bless us where we're short in faith. Help us in our unbelief, Father. Let us have that strong faith. Let us see those, or let them see those signs and wonders that follow us so that you are glorified. We know it'll eventually bring them to our feet, Father, but this is not why we do it. We do it because it'll bring them to a realization of who you are. And before they have the opportunity to go to our feet, a year before that, before the plagues fall, Father, there's going to be many that are going to accept your Son as their Savior because of the work you have us do. And so we pray for this work that you give us. We pray you bless it, physically, spiritually. And it's hard to pray this one, but financially as well, Father. Because we need money to do the things we got to do. Sometimes we do. We need the money. And so we thank you for blessing us there too. And thank you again for blessing all those we pray for on the prayer list. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.